Welcome to episode 34 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Over the last week or so, I've received a number of suggestions for what you would like to hear on the show, and it's one of these requests which forms the basis of this week's episode. Workflow, the approach we photographers take when preparing our pictures, is always an area of interest and often an area of confusion for those who want to learn more. So I'm sitting down in the office, talking through my typical approach to quickly getting pictures ready for their intended use. This is also one for all you Office Cat fans, as my little helper decided to offer his support along the way this week too. So pen and paper at the ready. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 34. It's around about 9:45 on a Saturday morning, and what I'm doing this morning is editing some photographs that I shot earlier in the week. Now, the reason I wanted to record this for you guys kind of comes from a suggestion or a request that I received earlier in the week. If you were following my Twitter feed, you will have seen that I asked people what they'd like to hear on the podcast, or if there's anything that's been on their mind in terms of technique or anything to do with photography. So this kind of taps into that. Now, the question or the area of interest was workflow, how I process my pictures, how I prepare them, how I get them ready for my clients. So what I thought I'd do is not necessarily talk through every finest detail, because that would take too long, but this is what I'm going to tell you is just a very my bare bones simple setup of how I prepare an image. So the pictures are live music photographs, which I shot for a good friend of mine, Tom Kent, who is a session musician. He was putting on a performance earlier in the week, and I've got to get the pictures ready to send off to him. Now, what I've got in front of me, I'm in my office, obviously, and I'm sat here in front of my machine, which has already got Adobe Bridge loaded up, and I use my standard editing package is first of all Adobe Bridge to preview all my thumbnails of any given shoot. I then open the pictures up in Camera Raw, and then for any final adjustments or to really check sharpness and what have you, then I'll open up Photoshop CS4. Now, those of you that are up to date with things will know that CS4 is not the latest version, but you know me well enough by now, I don't necessarily use the very latest version of software or a camera. If what I have does the job and everyone's happy and my clients are happy, yada yada yada, there's no reason to change anything. So this is my setup. Now, just to save time, what I've done is I have put a star or an asterisk next to several images which I've kind of earmarked for to look at. Now, if I'm honest, the pictures which I actually prefer from the gig are closer and vertical shots of Tom playing his bass guitar. But what I want to do, because I want to share this picture with you, and it's going to be the lead picture to the show notes of this podcast, I've actually picked out a horizontal image. Now, a bit of background about the pictures and the music. What I'm looking at here, the lighting predominantly was kind of cool, as in color-wise, a sort of blue, purpley blue. Obviously, the main sort of stage lights that were shining down onto Tom and his fellow musicians were kind of an orangey-yellow, which is not untypical for this sort of thing. They're spotlights, because obviously you know sort of thing with stage lights. So what I'm getting is a lot of black. The shadows really drop off within the frame, which I really like, actually. But of course, you've then got the contrast between the very bright areas of the subject that you're photographing. So as I'm looking at my pictures here, I could go into the metadata, and in fact, let's have a look here. I'm bringing up the file properties for this particular picture. And it tells me that on this occasion, and that the lighting wasn't very good at all. I was shooting at ISO 8000. Okay, so you'd naturally expect the pictures to be quite noisy, quite grainy. We can get around that later if we want, and I'll talk about that in a while. These were all shot on a Nikon D3, by the way. So ISO 8000, the white balance to work out, you know, the colours, as it were, is on auto. I nearly always leave it on auto. The only time I tend to come off that is when I'm shooting in a studio setup, often with flashlight. I will sometimes I'll leave it on auto white balance because it's very advanced. It works more than 9 times out of 10, actually. That would probably be 10 times out of 10. No, it works very well, so I don't have a cause to change it. But on some occasions, I actually change the white balance to being flash balanced, so it does give me a slight head start. Anyway, on this occasion, leaving it to do its own thing, the metering on this particular shot was... let me see here. The metering was evaluative, so it takes in all the highlights, all the mid-tones and the shadows. The other options, of course, you have spot metering to take readings off individual areas. So, for example, with the headshots that I like so much, I was using a spot metering, taking the exposure reading off, I believe it was off Tom's face, which was a highlight area. The main thing that I'm always concerned with the music shots like this is to make sure that, obviously, the subject doesn't burn out, but equally that they're not lost into shadows, they're not underexposed. And then what I would do would then be to put the camera onto manual metering. So once, say for argument's sake, it was saying, I don't know, 250th of a second. In fact, I'm going to look back at a previous shot of one of these shots, see if I can give you a prime example of that. Something like that. This is a totally different shot. Actually, it's a nice shot. I might include this in the final mix, but there we go. So yeah, so what I did was I took a reading off Tom's face, and it was telling me that at f4 it was 250th of a second. Okay, so I went on to manual exposure and I dialed in f4, 250th of a second. And because on this occasion none of the lighting was really changing, then I was able just to leave it. And I knew that my exposures, as long as I was in that kind of framing, that sort of area, they were going to be fine. Anyway, getting back to this main shot, let's have a look here. Where are we? There we go. Okay, so it's a fairly wide shot. What we've got are Tom in the middle with his bass guitar, as a lady to the left as we look at it. She's singing. There's a guy to the right playing a guitar. You've got a drummer in the background, and you can just about see the tip of the guitar from another guitarist off camera to the left. So, my starting point on this, there's not a lot that I need to do, and this is exactly it. If you can get it right in the camera, it saves a lot of time when you come to do the editing. So what I've done, I've made a selection of 3 images here, and bear in mind that this is only 3 images. I think I shot something like 156 pictures as what I shot on this occasion. You would make your selection initially using the asterisk system, and you can have between 1 and 5 asterisks, so you can prioritize. What I tend to do is just use the 1 asterisk. So I'll open up all the thumbnails, look through with Bridge. You can have, the way I have it set up, you have the content panel with all the thumbnails on the left hand side. Well, actually, to the furthest left hand side, I have things like the folders and favorites panel, but then my main, what I'm looking at mainly is the content panel with the thumbnails, and on the right hand side is a preview panel with 1 image shown large. It tells me the file name and what have you. So I'll pick out one picture. What should I go for? I've got a choice here. And it kind of shows the range of these wider shots. I've got something from the very back of the room, which shows really rich shadow areas with people, like the audience. It was a seated sort of gig, this one. So you got these people in the background here, very dark, very really nice, frames the stage nicely. Then I'm going a little bit sort of zoomed closer in, which is, as I say, the shot that I described just then. And then I've also got another shot from, I think, on the wonk, as you might say, sort of a jaunty angle from close up at the front of the stage with a bit of lens flare, the lights and what have you. But what I'm going to do for the sake of this is I'm going to stick with this middle range picture here. So that's asterisked. So there's my selection. For argument's sake, on this occasion, I've picked out three pictures. I've decided that this is the one that I want to actually sort of process further, because there's no point processing it in the whole of this stage. What you're doing, you're looking at your initial set of images, then you're whittling it down to a select few, and then you might find that once you've actually processed those pictures, once you open them up in Photoshop proper, that you might decide, actually, I don't like that picture, or it's a duplicate, or the focus wasn't quite right how you wanted it. But you know, that's my kind of my process. So we've got a single image, and I'm going to where are we going here? Oh, okay. So I'm going to open in Camera Raw, and it's just that one picture. So what's happening? It's opening up this other section of the program, and it's obviously giving you a little sort of timer thing. And what I've got in front of me here, it says Camera Raw 5.7 Nikon D3, and this panel has got a nice big image in front of me, which I have currently scaled at 21.5%, and you've got a drop down sort of menu that goes everything from 6% up to 400. That's in the main file. It tells me that it's Adobe RGB is the color space that I'm shooting, been working at here. And on the right hand side, you obviously at the top, you've got things like the zoom tool, the white balance tool, cropping, spot removal, all this sort of thing. But on the right hand side, that's where I really am concentrating. So my typical approach, and bear in mind, this is a noisy picture. Okay, this is ISO 8000. And I'm just using the zoom tool just to click in. It's only when I start to get to, say, 50%, and this is a 300 DPI. This image is 6,256 by 2,832. It's a 12 megapixel image. That's how many, the 4256 and 2832 pixels, that's the dimensions. Now, it's only when you get to sort of 50% that you really start to notice the noise. Now, if you've seen music photography, especially kind of, you know, stuff that was shot in sort of the 60s, 70s, the classic black and white stuff, have you ever noticed that a lot of those pictures are pretty grainy, especially black and white? But that really adds to the sense of atmosphere and all the rest of it. So at this stage, you know that I like to get everything right at the time, and I don't like to spend hours processing. I have two options here. I can either leave it as it is, and it's not too bad, a little bit grainy, but frankly, when it's on a screen like on the web, or when it's printed, knowing how these pictures are going to be used, you're not really going to notice it. It's really not worth kind of worrying too much over it. Now, this is what I'm about to say now is something that some of you might think it's, I don't know, no point, or is a silly move, shall we say. Any pictures that I process, unless I know that they are super super grainy, and by that I mean the equivalent of if you'd underexposed a picture, tried to lift the levels, and obviously that shows the grain more, what I tend to do as standard, I'll look at the panel on the right hand side. White balance is as shot at the moment. But I'll go into the detail panel, and my default settings for the sharpening of any picture that I shoot coming out of my D3 is on the amount. If you've got a pen and paper handy, you can make a note of this. Amount is 25, radius is 1.0, detail is 25, masking 0. Then on the noise reduction, and this is just my standard, regardless of whether it's live music shots like this or a studio shot with lovely crisp light, the luminance is at 0 and colour on the noise reduction is 25. That's just my standards. The only thing that I change with that at this point is on the amount for the sharpening is to make it 45. And that's it. The exposure actually is pretty much how I want it. When I'm looking at the histogram, the bias, of course, because it's a dark picture in the most part, the balance is over to the left. And as you know, with the histogram, you're wanting to have it at least centered in the middle, but pushing it as far to the right as you possibly can. I can see that there is a noticeable sort of spike on the right-hand side, which would normally tell you that you've blown the highlights. If that was the case, for example, if you were photographing a wedding on a bright sunny day, if you saw that the bride's dress, when you look at the blinkies function to check your highlights, if the bride's dress was flashing like mad, you know that chances are you've blown the highlights and you won't have very much or any, at the worst case scenario, detail in her dress. But once you know how your camera works and how it how you can interpret the data and the histogram, then you know how to read it. So on this, I do have this spike on the right hand side, but as I look at the picture, Tom is not overexposed. His fellow musicians are not overexposed. Any highlights, there is still detail within that. So on the exposure, I actually don't have to now do anything at all. So at this point, I could just leave this as is and then continue the process. One thing I will do, however, is I know that the lighting, because I was having the bias towards the highlights to make sure they didn't burn out, what that actually did, and it adds to the atmosphere, actually brought out the richness of the blue. So you've got curtains in the background and what have you. So that's really good. But as a consequence, the warmer lights that were lighting Tom and the other performers is quite yellowy. So what I'm going to do is just look into, I'm going to leave the white balance as shot because that'll change on its own. The colour temperature of this is 3050 with a tint of minus 31. That's just how it's come out of the camera. I could, of course, try to get the white balance tool and start to find a neutral area. But as there was nothing, there was nothing really white to speak of in the picture, if I was to get say a skin tone off Tom, say at the base of his neck, it goes from 3050 and minus 51 to 2000 on the temperature and minus 30, and all of a sudden that has gone really blue, the whole image cold, it's brought out all the grain and all that sort of thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take this back to, I forget what it said now, was it 3050? I can't remember, that's, let's say 3050, this is where I'm trying to talk while I'm working, it's never good. There we go, so I've put it now at 3050 and minus 31 on the tint. So what I'm going to do is rather than just try to take a stab at areas for the white balancing with no neutral area, I'm just going to, on the colour temperature, just bring it down slightly cooler, only very slightly, and it just takes out the yellow a little bit from the skin tones. Now, of course, the people are still going to look a little bit yellow because they are being lit by a yellowish light, but what it now means is that the for example, the guitarist that is at on the right as you view the picture, he is slightly more neutral. Tom is more neutral, a little bit warm, but that's to be expected. And the girl who's singing on the left-hand side, because she is that much, just a little bit closer to the main light, and also she had her skin tone was as very warm anyway, you'd expect her to look a little bit warmer anyway. So what I've got here is now the temperature, rather than being 3050, is now 2600. I've left the tint at minus 31. Exposure is as it is. The other thing that I tend to do is my default for the blacks, if this probably may not mean a lot to some of you because your setup would be different, but this is just how I, you know, the question was, what's my workflow? And this is how it's set for me. My default starting points are always that going down the panel on the right, you've got obviously your white balance, temperature and tint. And just running through very quickly, you've got exposure, recovery, fill light, blacks, brightness, contrast, clarity, vibrance and saturation. Exposure I'm just leaving as is. Recovery, which is where you would try to save your highlights if you'd blown them out, that's at zero. Fill light, if your pitch is a bit dark, just trying to light it. Essentially like if you had used fill in flash at the time, similar kind of effect just to save your picture a bit. That's at zero. The blacks are at five at the moment. And what I always do, that's my starting point, but I always, just out of interest, because I can, I always change that to eight and see what happens. And what that's done, to go, I'm going to toggle between 5 and 8 here, it just ever so slightly just darkens those shadow areas. It also helps reduce the noise a little bit, but it just adds a bit more depth and a bit more punch to the pictures. And a lot of people would go whacking the contrast in really high to do that. The thing with contrast, in my experience, of course, is that if you do that, it pushes the highlights out as well. So that's okay if you're going for maybe a like a cross-processed look, or you're going for a really punchy black and white. It can work very well. But it's kind of a global, obviously this is a global alteration, so you're starting to add more contrast into the shadows, of course, but then it's pushing the highlights to be brighter. So I use the blacks slider bar, and going from 5 to 8 has just added that extra bit, which is just how I want it. Now the brightness slider below that is at plus 50, and the contrast, as it is plus 25. But that is it. So when I'm looking at the picture at this initial editing stage, literally I've just done a tiny bit of colour correction, and I've just filled in the shadows just a tiny bit, and that is it. There is nothing else. So what I'm going to do is select my folder. I'm going to save image now, and then let's have a look. I've already saved time, set up a new folder just to put this image into, so it's Tom Kent edited, so that's it. Select that. Document name I'm leaving as it is. The format of the picture, I'm going to be saving it as a JPEG image. And of course, at this stage, you have the option to have it as a PSD, a Photoshop document, digital negative, or a TIFF. But I'm leaving it as JPEG, saving it in that location, and click save. And what I'm seeing at the bottom of the screen here, it tells me how many pictures are remaining. So of course, this is just one. And the little sort of timer thing is going around to say that's doing. Now, I could just leave the picture there, and that would be fine. And depending on how you're going to view the picture, whether it's going to be on screen, it's going to be knocked down to low res, or I don't know, if you're going to sort of just be sort of printing it on as a 6x4 inch image, or if you're going to have it on a CD cover. You know, you could just leave it like that. But I'm now going to do my next stage. So I've clicked done on that. And then what I'm going to do is actually, where are we? I'm going to open up CS4. And you can actually do this directly, of course, from within. Camera Raw has closed down, so I've still got Bridge open. And what I can do is actually open directly through that image directly through Bridge. But what I prefer to do on this occasion is going into the folder with this image. I'm just going to drag it in from the folder into the into CS4. And now that that's done, I'm closing down Bridge so that I haven't got any unnecessary programs open. So I've got the image here, and it's viewing at 25% at the moment. And I'm just going to make sure I'm clicking on the image here. I'm just going to click in and in to the picture. And that's, I mean, I'm just looking at this. This is at 50%. And I don't need to do anything to this. It's fine. The grain, when we used to shoot film, of course, you would talk about grainy images. The equivalent now is digital, what we call noise. But I'm just going into this now, and I'm at 67.7%. I'm at 100% on this image. And it's only when I'm looking at 100%, and let's see, on the image size, this is coming out as a 36 by 24 centimeter roughly picture. If you were to go into image size and look at document size, that's kind of an, at 100%, yes, you can see the grain. Now if I go to view view image print size, it looks fine. You can't really see the grain. If I go to view actual pixels, and obviously that's going up into the 100%, yes, you can see the grain in there, but that's kind of it. I really don't see the point of over editing a picture. Now if you were to go into the nitty-gritty, you would say, well, the more you edit, especially on JPEG, you edit a picture, save it as a JPEG, edit it again, save it back as that JPEG, what have you, you're better off doing working in TIFF format or Photoshop format. But what more do I need to do? I have prepared that picture, and I know this has taken me 20 odd minutes while I'm talking through the process, but you think if I had 500 pictures and I had to make a deadline, and I didn't want to be sat up all night, and I didn't want to spend any more time than I had to, isn't that just a better way to work? The pictures are, just going back to full screen view, the pictures are as I want. They're going to be happy with them. I set up my cropping at the time. I arranged the exposure how I wanted it. I could have got away with not playing around with the colour balance just now. But that's essentially it. Now, some people would say, okay, if noise was really an issue for you, and I will just sort of talk you through this, you think, okay, fine, noise is an issue. Bear in mind, this picture has already been sharpened once. If you were to use something like Unsharp Mask in Photoshop, that should always be your last action. Do everything else you need to first, then do the sharpening. But if I did think, oh, okay, that's really not, I wanted a bit smoother, what I would do is go filter noise. This is on the options menu, and then at the bottom of that in CS4 it says reduce noise. And again, I have a standard setup for this. It shows me a progress dialog saying reducing noise settings, what have you. And it opens up another box, reduce noise, and it shows me at 100%, I can move it around, it shows me a thumbnail preview. So of course, the key area that I'm interested in is Tom's face, okay? Because he's the subject. And I barely use this feature, okay? Because it doesn't need it, and it's more processing of the pictures. But as I have it set up here, I've got it set to basic. The settings are as default, and you've got, looking down the list, you've got strength, preserve detail percentage, reduce color noise percentage, and sharpen details percentage. Oh, and then you've got remove JPEG artifact. The only thing that I'm changing on here, and I can't even remember what it was set up to, but on strength, it's just at 8. And that's it. So what it's showing is, as you look at it, it looks a little bit soft. The picture looks as though you've shot through a slightly soft focus filter. Okay. But I've got a preview button here. I can see really doesn't make a lot of difference, funnily enough. I could adjust the strength to be, I don't know, sort of like 12 or something. And let's have a look here. If I do the preview again. Yeah, you can kind of, you know, you can see it definitely makes a difference. But what I'm going to do is, for argument's sake, I'm just going to leave strength at 8, click OK. That is then obviously going to process. And as I say, guys, this is just my workflow. Doesn't mean it works for everyone. Not everyone's going to agree with the way that I do it. But at the end of the day, and I've said this before and I've said it many times, the people that the pictures are shot for, they're going to be happy with it, I'm happy, and surely that's the most important thing. So what I'm going to do, I've got this image here, and it's looking a little bit soft. Yeah, it's taken out some of the noise there, but it looks soft. So what I'm going to do is go into filter, sharpen, unsharp mask, and I have, again, unsharp mask. My standard settings are whatever the amount might be. I usually start at about, well, now it's at 150%, but that's just as a starting point. It's actually too much on this occasion. But the radius is 1.0 pixels and the threshold is 2 levels. So 150% is too much. So I'm going to whack that right down to 75%. And I can see on here, I can see that there's a little bit of noise. Oh, hang on a second. I have to let my friend, hello, come on then, you can come here. What I've got here is office cat, Penfold, who always comes in, see how I'm getting on. You right, matey? He just wants to take over the chair. That's his usual thing. But, oh, there you go. Cheerio. He's off. He's had enough. See, editing really isn't that exciting. Just want to get it out of the way. It's not that exciting. So, yeah, on the unsharp mask here, we're down to 75%, and what it's doing is just adding a bit more sharpness to areas like the eyes and all the rest of it. I've got a preview function here, and what it's doing on this occasion is just cutting through that softness just to bring back a bit of detail again. So that is really it. I'm just going to cancel that because, and also then I'm going to go to the history of the picture and go back to open. And yeah, okay, you can see the noise again at 100% a little bit. But actually, I'm going to leave that. And that is the image that I'm going to put on the show notes for you to have a look at. And again, it's going to be 500 by probably about, it's going to be 500 by about 300 and something pixels. And you tell me if you look at that and think, God, what a horrible, grainy, noisy picture. Again, this is how I've arranged the picture. And, you know, horses for courses, you do what you do for a particular output and a particular usage. So hopefully that has been a little bit useful to you. Simon, you know who you are. You were the chap who asked me about this, I believe. I know a number of people did, but most recently you were the person that asked me about workflow. Hopefully that's given you a little bit of an insight. And of course, if you've got any questions following on from this, anything similar to this that you'd like to hear or see, maybe I could do it in an actual blog post. That would hopefully, yeah, that would be great. You know, I'm happy to do more like this. So hopefully that's given you something to go with. Remember, don't be shy. Let me know if there's a topic you'd like covered in a future show. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out The Active Photographer Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I'll speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.